Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hurry, 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 take the A train to find the quickest way to get to Harlem. If you should take the A train, you'd find
it may be the quickest way to get to Harlem, but the subway is also an increasingly tough place to be a musician. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Today, why some subway musicians are singing the blues. And they might be giants, share the wonders of science through music. First, they play everything from opera to doo-wop, mariachi to Chinese dulcimer. They fan out across 468 grimy and often congested stations, each with its own captive audience. But for many of New York's subway musicians, life is getting tougher. Some buskers say that competition is a lot stiffer these days. Others complain of a crackdown by transit police. Still others are striking deals for corporate sponsorship and singing advertising jingles. In a moment, we'll hear from one musician who participated in an ad campaign for Axe deodorant. But first, joining us are Heather Haddon, a reporter for AM New York, and Steve Zeitlin, director of the busker advocacy group called City Lore. Heather, let me start with you. It's been legal to perform on subway platforms for a while now. You don't need a license. Why is this alleged crackdown happening?
Well, there seems to be some distinction, at least, and I just want to preface by saying that this was anecdotal, mostly through musicians. Police had their own standpoint. But from talking to musicians, they said that performers who played with musicians under New York, which is where you have the banner, it's you have to try out with the MTA, you get a little splat in on mezzanines, that those folks were fine. But in talking to musicians, they call themselves freelance musicians who don't perform under the banner or typically performing on platforms, they said they were the ones who were having the problems. So typical examples were people were having difficulty with police even before setting up. They were getting ticketed for obstructing pedestrian areas, noise disturbances, upsetting crowds. And the folks I was speaking to said that they couldn't even really reason with police, that a lot of them were bringing up that it is legal to play. It's been legal since 1986, but the police that were giving them tickets didn't want to hear it. So,
Steve, are you hearing from a lot of the musicians? Are you hearing sort of a steady stream of complaints? And is it really just the non-Muni musicians, the ones who are not part of this program, this city program?
No, I think it's well, because a lot of the Muni musicians also are freelancers, so that happens with both. But I was just talking to a friend of mine who was. Did a book on the New Lost City Ramblers, and he was saying that in the 50s in Washington Square Park that music was illegal, and that whole folk song revival itself had to fight a lot of battles to play music in Washington Square Park, and eventually they allowed it only on Sunday afternoons, but no drums. So the battles have been raging for a long time. LaGuardia made performing in the streets illegal, entirely illegal. And it wasn't until the 70s that musicians challenged that ban in court and actually got the right to play. And it wasn't until the 80s that it became legal to play on the trains. But what happened is that it was actually during the Giuliani administration and their quality of life sweep that swept up street performers along with squeegee men and things like that, which is totally inappropriate. That's when at City Lore, we decided to write a booklet called Know Your Rights for street performers to know what was actually legal for them to do on the trains. And it's interesting that
if it is legal, what are the police? I mean, Heather mentioned, they can be ticketed for obstructing.
Right.
But I see most of them setting up like under stairways and stuff where they're not obstructing. So what are the police saying to the musicians?
Well, to me, it seems like we don't know Theo Eastwind, who's an advocate for street performers,
and who,
claims
by the
to
way,
have actually
he's on the line.
Oh, he's
the
on
way.
The line.
Yeah,
he claims that he has seen the memo that is a directive to issue this crackdown.
Theo has called in. Theo, is this true? You've seen the actual police memo?
I've actually seen the actual memo shown to me by officers Hang on, give me one second, please.
All right, where
he's
are
in the
you?
Streets.
Sorry
he's in
that.
The streets.
Where are you right now?
I'm walking on the street right now.
Okay.
I'm going to my spot right now, actually.
Okay, well, good.
Anyway, I've seen this memo shown to me by police officers who actually are disgruntled by the fact that they now have to, kick out street musicians. They think it's absolutely outrageous that they have to do this.
What does the memo say?
Well, the memo basically says that if you deem the music, bad, I mean, I give you just a couple of things, then, you can just say it's too loud and kick them out. It says that you can kick people out, but if they're muni musicians, they can stay on the muni spots. Okay, which is basically saying that if you are not, you don't have a scheduled time with music on the New York program, you cannot play in the spot, which you can under Rule 1050.6 of the Rules of Conduct. You can play anywhere in any of the spots, and then if somebody comes and has a scheduled time, you should be leaving because they have priority. But if there's no one there, you can play, and that should, and the cops shouldn't even ask me for my scheduled permit, because it has really nothing to do with them.
Heather, I mean, in the course of your story for AM New York, I mean, you tried to get the police mm-hmm. side of it. Do they admit the existence of a memo?
No, they deny that there was a memo to begin with. They said that there was no crackdown. There's no perception of a crackdown. And then they also said that they only give out tickets for excessive noise, upsetting crowds, and obstructing pedestrian passageways. And I did try to get the number of summonses that they had issued to subway musicians in the last year, and they couldn't provide that. So,
but we, at CityAlert, we've been trying to get a meeting with the New York Police Department for quite some number of months, and we have not been able to schedule that meeting.
So the idea that as Theo was telling us, that some policemen have actually shown him the memo because they feel like, why should I have to do this? Why should I have to enforce this? It's crazy. Suggests that, maybe enforcement, Heather, wouldn't be so kind of, problematic as
well,
it appears
to be. Well, it does seem subjective. It does seem that it's, it depends on the officer. It depends on the situation. The survey that CityAlert did of musicians found that certain areas were hotter spots than others. So Union Square, Times Square, areas where there's a lot of pedestrian traffic.
Hotter spots in terms of a number of tickets?
Enforcement, of this.
We feel that partly because it is taking place at these kind of high tourist areas, that the effort is being made to try to make New York seem a little cleaner and a little more organized and orderly from the perspective of people visiting our fair city, and we feel like we feel like that's a lot of that is for the good, but it should not think of street performers as anything except an enhancement to the city's quality of life, because that's really what a lot of people come to New York and they leave. And the one thing they remember about New York is the, the break dancers or the street performers that they saw on the streets for free.
Now, is that part of the problem, that there's so much of that, that the competition has become really stiff and there's too many people fighting for the good spots?
We have never heard that. I have not gotten a sense from street performers that what they're worried about is the recession. To me, street performers, in a way, are kind of an icon of capitalism. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're the ultimate, supply and demand artists. They set up. If they don't get money, they'll stop performing because they're not getting any money. And if they do well, they're probably good. So it is capitalism at its very best.
Well, let's get a musician's perspective. Luke Ryan is a veteran of the New York subway music scene. And as we'll find out in a moment, he's found some unique ways to make money in the subways. Luke Ryan, welcome to Soundcheck.
How you doing?
So let me ask the same question to you that I just asked
First of all,
Steve.
Can I ask a question? Did you just call me a capitalist?
Steve, did you just call Luke a capitalist?
Yes. Okay, you're out there, you're out there, buying and selling in the way it was intended for people to do under a free market system. You're a free marketer, right?
Okay.
And are there more competing free marketers underground, as far as you can tell, Luke?
Actually, I find the numbers dwindling.
Really?
I perceptually, I find there are less. I bump into less of my friends down there, it seems.
Heather, have you? Do you have any?
I mean, my one thought about
statistics
this,
or anything on this.
On not on volumes of street performers, but there are many, many more people taking the trains now than there were in 1986 when they first allowed for street performers to perform legally. I mean, there's millions and more people taking the trains now, and I could conjecture that there might be some issues with police in that sense, that because the volume of passengers is increasing, perhaps they're trying to keep areas clearer.
Okay, so it's not an increase in the volume of musicians necessarily, but more people on the platforms
this
means...
This is conjecture.
Okay. A lot of the musicians we spoke to are genuinely afraid to go out there and perform these days. And they're generally... I think that is one of the reasons you're seeing fewer of them, is that it's just more of a hassle for them. Many times, even their summonses are thrown out in court, but they still need to go to court and fight it. And in some cases, they've been threatened with arrest. In some cases, they've been threatened with getting their instruments impounded. So
has that happened to you, Luke?
It hasn't happened in a long time, but it has.
But you've been a Muni musician for a long time.
Right? Yeah, and I've been playing mostly under that cope,
So you have the banner that says Music Under
banner,
New York.
Yeah. But in the day, I did have my instrument.
All right, let me just state for our soundcheck listeners, we're talking about what's happening with musicians underground in New York. I mean, every major city has street musicians, and every major city with subways has subway musicians. And we're hearing complaints of a police crackdown on subway musicians here in New York. We invited the MTA to actually be a part of our discussion today. They declined. But an MTA spokesperson says, Muni and non-Muni musicians alike are required to abide by the same rules of conduct that apply to all subway customers. The rules of conduct are enforced by the NYPD, which has done and continues to do a superb job of reducing crime and ensuring the security of the subway system. We are not aware of any police effort to target enforcement efforts toward freelance musicians. Heather, does that surprise you to hear that from the MTA?
No, I will say that they're, overall, the Transit Bureau of Police has, brought down crime. I mean, that is true.
But in terms of not knowing about a police effort, that's
subtly suggesting that crime and street performers are somehow tied together, instead of thinking that street performers are a way of preventing crime. So that even to group them, even to make that statement is suggesting that... Yes, the New York Police Department should be stopping crime in the subways, but that doesn't mean they should be closing down street performers.
How do street performers help?
Because they make the stations feel safe. Late at night, when you see a performer, they're playing, and it's another person down there. It's another set of eyes on the subway, and many people have told me that seeing the street performers makes them feel safe in the city.
But it's also a person, Luke Ryan, mm-hmm. on a subway late at night with. Hopefully, money. it kind of makes you a target, doesn't it?
Oh, myself?
You. Yes, you, the musician.
I've never felt that. I've had few altercations like that. And,
how long have you been playing in the subway?
30 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So I look good, huh?
You look good. You smell nice.
Let me ask you about
the Axe deodorant campaign. You participated in this campaign for Axe Instinct, a deodorant that's meant to smell like old leather, however,
not for old people. It's targeting young people.
All right. And what was your job when they paid you to be a part of the campaign? What were they paying you to do?
Well, it was a 2-month promo. And for 2 months, we had to display their sign in our guitar cases or whatever instrument cases we would have.
How many of you were there?
In New York, there were two. Okay. Me and actually Theo Eastwind.
Oh, he was another.
Yeah, he was
the guy who called in.
As a matter of fact, he's a good old buddy of mine. He's actually the person that referred me to Axe. So if it wasn't for a good old Theo, I wouldn't even be sitting here. He would. But I'm glad I am.
So you display their sign for 2 months on your guitar case.
And you had to learn their song and play it a matter of 5 to 10 times every time you, performed.
And
which for me would be 3 times a week.
So 3 times a week you're singing. Was it a jingle? Was it an actual song?
It was a pretty nice song. It didn't feel too bad. I didn't.
How did it go?
I mean, we. I put
yes,
my
Luke.
Own,
how did it go?
I put my own spin on it, but it was. I can do anything I want, 'cause I look good in leather. I can talk any kind of talk, 'cause I look good in leather. I know you wish that you could smell like me. Or something of that nature.
Uh-huh. Now, you got $1,000 for this, according to the New York Times?
Well, that was a misquote. Actually, with the contract, I'm not allowed to say how much I got paid. And sometimes, present company excluded, sometimes reporters and people, you know, they make up their own statistics.
Well, so let's put it this way. How did you do vis-a-vis the sponsorship compared to what you would normally make in the course of, say, the two-month period in the subway?
You mean on top of what
yeah.
I got from them?
Yeah.
It was about the same. You know, psychologically, when you're playing and you know you're making some money and you're not, because subway musicians, the public, they have different views on how we live or what we make. Some people think that we're just, you know, entrepreneurs, and some people think we're homeless. And it's somewhere in between. But but we really don't do it for the money. I mean, we would find, as long as we can get by, it's like a passion and a challenge to, like, play for, like, an audience like that. You know, you really have to hone all your performing abilities to grab somebody in less than a minute.
So are you saying that having the comfort level of knowing that you were getting paid for these past 2 months
yeah.
maybe gave you a bit of an edge, an advantage?
Yeah, because I think, you know, no matter how good you are as a musician, there's a certain attitude that you have, and it's very subtle. When you look at somebody when they're passing by and you get eye contact, if they think that you're having some sort of party that they want to be invited to, they figure in order to get into the party, they have to drop a buck in the case, which well, always, then the door's open.
A little bit of Luke Ryan's music in the background. This song is called I Like Living Free. We're talking about the plight of the New York subway musician with Luke Ryan and with Steve Zeitlin, who's the director of City Lore. And we've been speaking with Heather Haddon, reporter for AM New York. Heather, thank you for your article and for sharing it with us on Soundcheck today.
Appreciate it.
Luke and Steve will be back in a moment, and we want you to be a part of the discussion as well. What's your experience been with subway musicians? Are there more of them in your experience now than there were in the past? Do you enjoy them? Are there some you find annoying? You can call us at 212-433-WNYC or leave a comment on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
Scatologically, in a big house by the sea, I hope that house don't come swallow me. Because I like living free. Ex-girls and friends do the hula hula dance. I got things suspended.
So our conversation on subway musicians continues with your calls and comments after the break. And coming up in a little while, the band They Might Be Giants. They'll share their latest kid-friendly endeavor, Here Comes Science, live in the Soundcheck studio.
Uptown by local to Van Cortlandt Park. Wake up, get out, go up, cross over, go down, get on, and then downtown by local to Sheepshead Bay. Wake up, get out, go up, cross over, go down, then up on the east side to Pelham Bay Park. Wake up, get out, go down, cross over, go up.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We're back talking about New York's underground music economy. Joining us is Steve Zeitlin, director of the busker advocacy group City Lore, and Luke Ryan, who is a busker, a subway musician, who works in the Grand Central Terminal shuttle station. Listeners, we want to know what you think as well. Do you think there are more subway musicians than ever? Do you enjoy them, or do you find them annoying? You can call us at 212-433-WNYC, although it looks like our lines are pretty full, so leave a comment on the soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Steve, we were talking with Luke before about his sponsorship with Axe deodorant. We've heard that in the London Underground, Coca-Cola is trying to work out a similar deal with the musicians underground there. Do you see the beginnings of a trend here?
I hope so. You know, it's I think anything that helps performers down in the streets make a living is probably a good thing, and I think the world of street performers can use all the encouragement that they can get.
All right, before we go to phones, let's go into the control room and check in with Joel Meyer, who's moderating the comments. Joel? Joel's not ready yet, so let me take a quick call first from Mark, joining us in here in Manhattan. Mark, I understand you are or were a street musician, is that right?
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know I'm enjoying the show very much, and I was a musician. Well, I still am a musician. I don't play down in the subway anymore, but I was fortunate to be in a quintet that had the banner from the city. So I must say that if you have that, you're pretty fortunate. But I played down there from probably 1991 to 2000, 2001, and I have to say that the spots where we got hassled the most by the police was really the Times Square station. And
what would they be hassling you for?
Well, mostly if two of the guys used small amps, very small amps that you pull on a little luggage cart and has a battery and it lasts for hours. But they didn't like that, and they would make you get a move. Sometimes they would actually confiscate instruments if they felt like it. But the best spots were underneath Macy's. And the other excellent spot was Union Square. And there were five of us in the band. It was Music Underground really liked the band, so they gave the leader of the band, they renewed his, whatever it is, a contract every year. And I used to make up to sometimes the most I made was maybe between $170 and $200, and you only play for about two or three hours. Then you're not allowed to play more than that. But as far as the guys down on the
hold on just a sec, Mark. Are you saying $175, $200 in just 2 hours of playing?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's a five-piece group.
Right. Let me just ask Luke to respond to this. I mean, he's talking about the Muni, it helped to have the Muni banner. When you have, do you always play with the banner, or do you sometimes have it, sometimes not?
Recently, I've been relying on the banner.
Does it make a difference? Do people see that and think, this guy is legit, I'm going to give him money?
I don't even think sometimes people see me at all.
All right, let's go back to the phones, and Phil joining us from Queens. Hi, Phil. Phil, you with us? All right, we're going to be one of those days, I suppose. You know what? Let's see if we can get some comments from Joel Meyer, our producer in the Soundcheck studio. Joel?
Sorry about that delay earlier, John. There was track work between, between my seat and this microphone.
Are you going to thank me for my patience and cooperation now?
I do, and I'm going to do that four more times during this little part here. Well, we're getting some good comments on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Hazy from Brooklyn wants to know why police are wasting time on musicians. Hazy writes, how about the constant panhandlers, or how about the scary thugs? Hazy mentions an incident that happened on the train in Brooklyn that you can read about more on the Soundcheck page. And Ashton from Chelsea has a good question. Ashton always gives money to musicians performing on platforms in no matter what city that he or she is in. But Ashton writes, my views about musicians on trains inside cars is completely different. I feel abused by anyone doing anything when I can't escape. Does the law you're talking about make playing music in our subway system legal and only apply to people that are on platforms versus people on trains themselves?
Correct. Really good question.
It is not legal to perform on the trains, and we don't advocate for that at City Lore. We're really talking about the mezzanines and the platforms and the streets and the parks.
Although people have played on the trains
for decades. They do. And more and more so. I think you do see – what I see is in terms of the recession is that the cars are packed with musicians. I mean, you have – You really can track the immigrant patterns in New York by the trains. I mean, you have Mexican musicians singing norteño music with the whole conjunto there on the train. You have break dancers on the train. I mean, it's a...
And then you head down to Chamber Street, and you've got the guy with the little Chinese fiddle there. The demographics are reflected.
A while, there was a guy with a Chinese fiddle who played with a Mexican musician, the two of them together.
Oh, cool.
They had a duo
beautiful.
Going for a while.
All right, now I think we can successfully get Phil from Queens on the air. Phil, you have a question about subway musicians?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so my first question was about taxes. This other fellow said that each musician made about $175 a piece. Does the MTA require you to file taxes to get official sanction? And then between you and me, I love the musicians. I love them on like the entrances, but on the platforms they're annoying, and in the cars you really do feel trapped, and half the time they're just junkies who are making noise, and it's really sad and intrusive and annoying. So
It's illegal, as we just heard.
And it's illegal, but there's also a crime element in the past and in other cities in Europe and in Paris. You know, you'll get a crowd, and then people will have their bags snatched and pickpockets. I don't think that happens so much in New York, but.
Yeah. Well, let me throw your question to Luke. I mean,
thanks.
Luke, it's a practical question, but it's certainly one you've had to deal with. I mean, do you have to go back to the folks at the MTA if you are a Music Under New York musician? Do you have to tell them what you've made and file taxes and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, I thought he said Texas. Taxes? No comment. Actually, it's certainly not my experience to make $175 an hour or whatever that was. You know, there are varying incomes, and
would that range be? What would a good day be? What would a bad day be?
See, I never like to talk like that because then I have to ask
Steve
you.
Steve called you a capitalist before. Come on, well, that's how capitalists talk.
Well, let's do it this way. Tell me how much you make, and I'll tell you if it's more or less than that.
Fair enough.
See, there's open season on our income, you know, like everyone. Well, they're curious because, like I said, a lot of people wonder if we're panhandlers and homeless, or if we're just like, filthy profiteers.
Mm-hmm. Let's take another caller, Anina, who is also in Manhattan. Hi, Anina.
Hi. Oh, I have so many questions, but I'll try to say what might be interesting. I figure that when I retire, you know, God willing, although less soon than I would have thought a few years ago, I thought, hey, I want to do that. I want to be a busker on the subway or on the street, and it just tickles me, the thought that you might entertain people who didn't expect to be entertained.
What about the thought that maybe you're bothering people who don't want to be bothered?
I would actually not do it anywhere where – I mean, I would probably be more likely to do it on the street. I wouldn't want to –
What do you do now, Anina?
What do I do now? Okay, I work at NYU.
Okay.
Keep it quiet.
So for you, moving from New York University to the streets, that's a step up for you.
Lest anyone have any ideas. Let's say that it's not something that I would necessarily prefer to do. Certainly not now. But I thought, you know, one day when maybe to supplement the old retirement income, and I think, well, how cute would it be to have some little old lady singing country music with her guitar? I mean, you know, the pathetic factor might generate some money.
Very nicely done, Anina. And actually, you know, there can be a reward to playing in the subway. There was one group that performed here in our soundcheck studio after we first heard them playing in the subway, a group called the Blue Vipers of Brooklyn. Luke Ryan is, well, we didn't get a chance to hear you perform in the studio today, but it was great to have you here anyway, and people can hear you perform on your MySpace page,
yes.
Right? And Steve Zeitlin is the director of City Lore, which is the advocacy group for the buskers here in town. And Steve, thank you for being with us today as
great.
Well.
Great, and you can go to the City Lore website to find out what rights you do have as a performer.
Yeah. Here are the Blue Vipers of Brooklyn, another group that busks in the subway and played here in our soundcheck studio. Still to come, they might be giants, make music out of scientific principles and target it at your kids. We'll hear the results next. Ragma. 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 R-A-G-G.